Welcome to Managing Care Quality Improvement with the Qualitizer Process, the podcast for registered managers who want to lead with confidence, refine skills, and achieve exceptional results in service quality improvement. I'm Leslie Shaw, founder of Registered Care Manager and creator of the Qualitizer Process, and I'm here to provide you with trusted tools, practical tips, and actionable insights to help you succeed. Let's dive in and take the next step in your quality improvement journey. Welcome to Managing Care Quality with the Qualitizer Process. I'm Leslie Shaw, and this episode is week four of our six-week success plan for 2025. And this week, I'm going to be talking about something that lies at the very core of what we do, our service users and residents. Now, I know as registered managers, you already prioritise your service users and residents daily. This week isn't about teaching you the basics. You're the experts, clearly. Instead, it's an opportunity to take a step back, evaluate where we are, and make sure everything we're doing is as sharp, responsive, and customer-focused as it could be. Sometimes I know we get caught up in the operational business, and this is your chance to refocus on what matters most. So let's start with step one, care planning and review. Now, we all know these are the foundations of personalised care, but how often do we really get the chance to step back and review them holistically? So this isn't about me saying time to audit your care plans and care files. Yes, there's certain steps, but it's that holistic review of how they are representative of person-centred care for the individuals you look after. So I suggest, yes, set up a detailed audit for all your care plans, but with a real critical eye. Are they fully reflective of each individual's current needs, their preferences, their aspirations? And has anything changed? And if you need to, then plan audits for your care plans and share that with your senior team. It's a good time to check the details. When were the individual care plans last actually written? Yes, they may have been reviewed regularly, but when were they last written? And is it time to update some of them? People move, the individuals we look after, obviously, you know, they're not what they were 6 months ago, 12 months ago, but perhaps the care plan still is reflective of where they were at that previous time. And it's also about looking at, is there enough depth in the residents and service users, their preferences, their likes, their dislikes, their hobbies, the routines they have, because again, this may have changed. And it's time to look at collaboration, because those on the ground often hold those little insights that can make our care plans and care files truly individual. So it's time to share this task with the wider team. Because it isn't just about ticking a compliance box. It's about making sure that care is dynamic and as individualised as possible. So also take time to think about whether your care plans, as they are, actually still align with your services ethos. Because ethoses change as we change, and they may be reflective of where you were 4, 5, 6 years ago, or even if you've had a rapid growth period 12 months ago. And if they don't feel personalised and resident or service user led, now is a great time to adjust them. Step two leads on to from care documentation and personalised care delivery by looking at resident and family feedback. Now, I know we all aim to involve our residents, our service users and their families, but let's be honest. When was the last time we had a real meaningful conversation with them about the care we provide? So how about trying these three tips? If you struggle to gain buy-in for your residence meetings, and I know so many services do, try a mix-up. It might help to have an end of year review meeting or a start the new year meeting with an agenda that is simply to talk to them about their favourite moments from the last year and what they'd like to see more of in 2025. And go beyond generic questions. Ask those open-ended questions that invite them to feedback. Now, if you do struggle with residents' meetings, it might be my second tip will help, which is hold family and resident gatherings that are based on an activity rather than that more formal residents' meeting. You might, every service is different, but you might choose to have an afternoon tea, a cheese and wine evening, a weekly quiz, and that goes for home care services as well. I know with my home care service, I often have events that are focused around an activity such as a cheese and wine, or I'm in the northeast, so pie and pea supper, dare I admit. But think about what could work for you. As we know, families bring that unique perspective, so engaging with them in a less formal manner can still allow you to discuss what's going well and what could be improved. And remember, this is as much about managing expectations as gathering insights. And my third tip would be to find a theme. Capture feedback and distill it into clear, is to find a theme with what you're doing with your activities. And it may take some months to find the themes that work for your actual service. But so many of us struggle to get buy-in for that monthly residents' meeting. So if that's you, definitely try themes. One of the best ones I ever did was have an afternoon tea, and I held it every week. And I got certain key people that came week after week, but they were, if I'm honest, the most vocal. And that constant buy-in, that engagement, and open communication absolutely changed how we focused on residents and their needs at the time. So capturing feedback, and then you want to distill it into that clear, actionable set of priorities that you can then share. Because often residents, service users, and families will notice things that we overlook. And this is your chance to get those small yet significant insights that can elevate your services care delivery. Step three is activity planning. Now, we all know how impactful a good activity calendar can be, but it's so easy to let it slip into routine or repetition. If it's Wednesday, it must be bingo. If it's Friday, it's fish and chips supper. And it may be time to inject that fresh energy into your plans for 2025. So again, three tips that I've used successfully is sit down and actually review last year's activities with your activity coordinator or your key team members that do get involved on a regular basis. What worked? What didn't work? What feedback did you get? So that you can see it clearly out in front of you. And then look at diversifying your calendar for the coming year so that you're catering for a variety of interests. Group activities, one-on-one time, big celebration events, and sometimes just plain fun. And remember, accessibility is key. So making sure that activities are inclusive, whether for residents in your service with limitations or cognitive challenges, everybody should be able to engage in regular activities that are meaningful for them. And this should clearly be well documented so you can evidence that. And I guess what I would like to say is don't just rely on your activities coordinator. Tap into your team and even volunteers or family members, because fresh perspectives can lead to great ideas. This isn't just about ticking another compliance box of having an activity program, social interaction, because you need to do it. It's about creating moments of joy and connection that enhance the quality of life for our service users and our residents. Step four is personal touches. You probably got that long list of operational tasks, but try and take a day out or at least a morning out and step back and focus on your environment and those small, meaningful touches that make your care home or your service feel truly caring. And I think often we're so busy, so we do forget to take, you know, open our eyes and properly look around, because we walk past things, particularly, I think, if we're honest, as registered managers in care homes, we walk past these along corridors. So take this opportunity to look for comfort upgrades. You know, how cozy does the service look? Is it clearly personalised? Are there rooms, individual rooms for service for residents that really aren't very personalised at all? And you know, does that need to be addressed? Maybe review any of your memory corners, particularly for residents, if you've got residents that benefit from reminiscent therapies. But are they tired? Was it last sort of looked at 12 months ago? And have things gone missing? Has the furniture become a mess? Or has the room actually, you know, the furniture's been changed and it doesn't look as inviting as it used to do? And finally, think about the residents or your new service users with your home care companies, and refresh your welcome pack for 2025. Are they warm? Are they inviting? Are they tailored to make somebody feel confident in the care delivery that they're going to receive? I'm a great lover of welcome packs, both for home care and care homes, because I think it's our opportunity to make that really positive first impression for the people we are, the individuals we're going to care for. Because it isn't just about aesthetics. It's about showing the people we care for that they are individuals, that they're not becoming just part of a system. And I think these little touches, they build trust, they build comfort, and they show and provide dignity. Step one, we looked at last week, but this is really about staff training on person-centered care delivery. I mean, at the end of the day, our team is the driving force behind our person-centered care focus. And use specific approaches to consistently align everyone around the same goals and the same standards. And I think one really effective way to do this is to run regular, and by that I probably mean at least monthly, short sessions as part of what you do for your team discussions. And it reminds everyone that we focus on person behind the care delivery. It gives you the opportunity to highlight the power of active listening, individual engagement, and it can be a perfect time to use case studies and use your care files and care plans to highlight how important their roles are in the delivery of person-centered care. It also gives you the chance to share key insights that you've received from residents and families, to create that wider sense of ownership and connection and focus on the person behind the care we deliver. And it may also lead to you setting some team goals, improving one-to-one engagement or improving communication with families. But often we get insights when from regularly running these sort of sessions where we're focusing purely on how we deliver person-centered care and how we can improve that delivery. But never forget to recognise and celebrate where your team already are, because positive reinforcement goes such a long way in building person-centered resident service user first culture in our services. The next step is implementing feedback, because by now you've gathered feedback and identified areas for improvement. You've looked at care documentation, you've listened to families, you've listened to residents, and now it's about taking action. So it's about prioritising the feedback that you have gained so you can have some quick wins or high impact changes. It may be about the environment. You might change the environment. You might change some of the activity programme that you're doing. You might implement a more regular but less formal catch-ups for families and residents. And then assign responsibilities. Who's doing what and when and how? And make accountability very clear. This is not going to be a well, it'll be nice to have. This will go in your action plan for 2025 moving forward. And this is where you can use smarter goals. And I'll put a link to the template I've created to help you share that with your team so that they can create meaningful goals for their responsibilities you're going to assign them. And finally, celebrate residents or service users, because at the end of this whether you've done it in a week or you've done it over a few steps, always end on a high note with a celebration, because that shows that to your residents and your service users how valued they are. So it might be that you start to plan a special event for the end of January, anything, you know, that works for your service. But it gets 2025 off to a really positive start if you've got a big event or a big function to look forward to at the end of the month, particularly, I think, January, because it can be such a downer, I guess, if we're honest, from all the buzz and excitement of December. And always acknowledge the contribution of your service users and your residents to your community, whether it's their participation in activities or the fact that they simply are part of your service and you are proud that they are. And always share some of the positive stories from the past year that you've gathered, and have that sense of pride and optimism, because sharing a positive story is just so impactful for your staff team, our service users, our residents, our families. So just to recap, because I think I've gone through quite a bit, by the end of this step with your resident service user focus, you will know where your care plans are. And it's not just are they up to date, but you've picked out and identified, are they truly personalised? Are they truly person-centred? And if they're not, you will have an action plan for doing so. You'll have gained clear feedback from both residents, service users and their families to shape the priorities that you want to implement in 2025. You've created, or you started to create, maybe a more vibrant activity calendar that reflects the people you look after's interests and isn't just a tick box. You'll have a motivated and aligned team delivering compassionate, individualized care, because you put person-centered care at the focus of what you are going to implement in 2025. And most importantly, the people you care for will feel seen, they'll feel heard, and they'll feel valued. So that's week four, resident focus, service user focus. This isn't about reinventing the wheel. It's about taking a moment to recalibrate and make sure the people we look after remain at the heart of everything we do. Now, next week, we're going to shift gears and tackle operational excellence. We'll be looking at refining the systems and processes that keep our care service running smoothly. So you won't want to miss it. Until then, take care. And as always, keep your service users front and centre. See you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Managing Care Quality with the Qualitizer Process. I hope today's episode has provided you with valuable insights and practical tools to help you on your quality improvement journey. Remember, you don't have to do this alone. We're here to support you every step of the way. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with others, and don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an update. I'd love to hear your thoughts, so feel free to leave a review or connect with me directly. Until next time, take the lead, keep improving, and continue to make a positive impact in the care you provide. Join us again soon.